welcome to another episode of the Sales RX podcast. My name is Chet Lufgren, aka the Sales Doctor, here as always with my awesome co-host, Billy Stein. And we're really excited to talk today because you're probably about a month, we're wrapping the first month of the year into, you know, all your New Year's resolutions and the habits that you've been trying to create and implement and the routines that you've been trying to develop. And unfortunately, you're probably noticing some slumping back into the status quo. It's just human nature, or maybe you're exceeding all of your New Year's resolutions, and that's fantastic. But, you know, we're human as well, and I can tell you, I even see that in my own first couple weeks here where I'm looking at stuff and I'm like, okay, I kind of slipped up here, slipped up there. That's a little bit more slippage than I'd like to. Need to get back on track. And unfortunately, sometimes failure to implement new habits and create new routines is just a matter of not thinking about the inverse of that. Well, how do I eliminate the habits and things that are happening in my routine that are affecting those new habits? And how do I essentially get a good framework or support systems in place or find ways to help others around me and ask for help as well to keeping those habits strong? Great example is Billy and I working on these episodes. I think we both challenge each other, you know, to make sure we're on top of things with content and creating episodes. And it's great to have that accountability because it actually gets done. If I had to do this all on my own or he had to do it all on his own, we probably wouldn't have the publishing frequency that we have because we're just human. And when you don't have accountability partners in place, it's just human nature that you might fall by the wayside. So excited to talk about how to get over the procrastination of starting new habits. If you've had some trouble getting where you need to go or just getting a baseline of information on what should I be looking at, support methods for foolproof systems of building new habits. And we're going to give a sample set of what a great day in sales looks like from creating a routine and those habits that live inside of a routine. But before that, Billy, what's going on? It's been a while, holidays, we batch recorded a little bit, didn't get to see each other as much. You got a little sick, feel a little rusty today.
Yeah, I got a lot sick, actually.
A lot sick. And you tell everybody what happened?
No, it's good to see you, man. It's good to be back. Yeah. I mean, when did we last record? It was
like early December, I think.
Early, mid-December, something like that.
Yeah, right before the holidays.
Yeah. So we drove up to the Bay Area to go see my wife's family. And the morning we woke up to drive, we had a 5 a.m. alarm and we were going to hit the road 5:30, 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Well, we got a text at 3 a.m. that morning from my mother-in-law saying that she had COVID. Oh. And, you know, you have to make that decision, right? Like, do we just cancel? Because that's obviously where we're going to be staying. And that's pretty prohibitive.
Yeah.
But do we want my mother-in-law to sit alone and not get to, like, see anybody during the holiday?
Yeah.
So we went to the Bay Area and we, you know, it kind of like brought back like those early 2020 feels where like you didn't really know how not to get sick.
Yeah.
So like we had our masks on indoors and I was catching a ratch of criticism from my team because I'd be on Zoom calls with a mask on inside. And it was fine for a few days. And then unfortunately on Christmas, I caught it. Mm-hmm. And then my wife got it shortly after. And I don't know, man. I was feeling bad for a few days, but in all honesty, it was just feeling okay, but still testing positive for several days thereafter that got me.
Yeah, I remember we talked and I was like, hello? Like, I didn't even know if it was you because you were so stuffed
up. Oh, my goodness. Like, yeah.
You sounded miserable.
I'm finally clear there. So hopefully, yeah. I know I got a great voice for TV, so hopefully it can come through okay today.
What do they say? I got a face for radio. Isn't that the opposite of it?
It's a face for radio and a voice for TV.
So we're talking about, you know, new year, new you. Anything specific you got that was kind of a priority for you this year? I mean, I don't necessarily like the term New Year's resolutions. I think it just has a connotation to it. But anything you're focused on for this year that you want to share with everybody or, you know, what's going on with you? Any specific area of your life where you're like, this is something I'm really excited to tackle this year?
Yeah, there's two things that I've been focused on. Like, neither of them are novel. Like, I've done these things before. It's not exactly a new year, new me, but it's just trying to get back into a couple of habits that made me feel a lot better, made me a lot happier in doing so. So the first one is I just need to be better about reaching out to people more. Mm. I actually, earlier this week, it was my birthday. That's not a flex. That's just a fact. And a friend of mine called me, and he calls me every year on my birthday. He never misses. Mm-hmm. And the conversation is always the same. It's a couple of minutes of catching up. How's the family doing? How are you doing? How's work? And then because we don't keep up as much as we normally do, it's kind of hard to fill the space in the call. So definitely working on being a better friend, being more proactive, knowing the things that are happening in the people that matter to me's lives as much as I can. And then the other thing, something that just kind of fell off, and hopefully this isn't a sign of things to come, but when I started out last year, my wife and I were in wedding mode. And you know how it goes before you get married, right? Yeah. Like you diet more, you exercise more. You want to look really good for those wedding pictures. Well, that wedding happened and we took those pictures. And then as the year went on and life started happening, my gym routine wasn't as good as it could have been. So focusing on getting up a little earlier, even if it's just doing an old man warm up in the gym, just trying to do something to move around before a long work day.
Yeah.
So those are the things. I mean, I guess I'll come back to you in February and see if I could maintain.
Yeah.
How about you?
I think I'm going mustache mode all year.
Yeah, I can tell you've got a gold watch and a mustache on. Yeah. You've got like,
I'm one pinky ring short of being a main character.
You are like the CEO of an upstart hipster coffee company. I know. Perfectly right now.
I know. I don't know what's going on with me. No, I've always hidden what I feel is like my negative health and deprioritization of my health behind a beard, because you look so much more chiseled when you have a beard. I said this year the mask is coming off and I'm just going full, like you can see everything, you know. I still want to keep the stash though.
The mustache looks great.
Because I have a weird upper lip formation, so I look really weird when I'm fully shaven, like on my face. But yeah, I think for me it's health is going to be a big prioritization. I've always like prioritized like my family and work. You know, and like, so like work really hard, make a lot of money, spend as much time as you can with your kids, go on vacation, stuff like that. And it's not to say, you know, I'm going to deprioritize work, but I think when you work really hard, you play really hard. And to me, playing really hard is having fun with my family, you know, maybe playing video games or watching a lot of TV and stuff, you know, when the kids are down. I don't have the energy to work out and focus on fitness at, you know, 7-8 o'clock at night. So I'm like, well, what are the things I'm doing at 7 or 8 in the morning that I could do at 7 or 8 at night and replace that with activity in the morning? One thing I haven't gotten there yet, but so far this month I've done really well with 2 separate walks in the day. Like that's something like, so I go out with my son for like 15 minutes at around 10:30 every day. And then we go again like 3:30, just depending on,
and you get that schedule, that dad time in while you're
15 minute walk around the neighborhood. It's not very far too, you know, it's like maybe a mile, but it's activity, you know, and it just builds that up and you get to breathe the air and stuff. Like, I mean, for me, like as sad as it is, there are days where I wouldn't see the outside. Like I would be inside like all day, most of it working. And then if I'm not, then it's cleaning and organizing the house and then making dinner with my wife and then doing bedtime with the kids. And then you're like, wow, I'm kind of tired, but I really want to watch this new comedy special or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, you just don't see the outside. So that's, I think health is one of the biggest ones for me. The other one that we're focused on is like planning an organization and like looking forward to the good things. So we did the Jesse Itzler thing. We got the big ass calendar. We put it up in the kitchen. We marked out like every date night we want to have, every birthday, every trip that we're going to take. Every like family focus day, like a day where we're like specifically like, let's go find something to do, not just like taking the kids to the park or whatever. It's like, let's go to like a museum and go to some like art walk or something like that. Because there's this whole thing Jesse Itzler has, if you haven't checked him out, pretty cool. His wife is the founder of Spanx, and just about like, we tend to not look forward to the good things. And so map it out and get a vision for your year. And it's not a calendar that's like, oh, pay bills this day, this or that. It's the fun things.
Yeah. I was going to say paying bills are not the good things.
Yeah. People's, you talked about staying in touch with people's birthdays.
Yep.
It was actually funny. Like I showed my wife, I was like, do you see that my 5 closest professional contacts all have birthdays in January? Isn't that kind of weird?
She's Capricorn like, season.
She's like, I keep telling you, you need to focus on signs. And I'm like, no, I'm not about that life. Same. But it's funny because you and like 4 others, I'm like, this is crazy. Five of my closest professional contacts all have birthdays in January. That's nuts. But so yeah, that's our focus for this year.
It's going to be a banner year, Chet.
I hope so. Hope is not a strategy, but it's still good to be hopeful and positive. We're going to jump in our first segment. Before we do, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor of the podcast, Kixi.
If you've been in sales for a while, you've probably noticed that it's harder than ever to get prospects to answer the phone. It's easier than ever to screen calls, and more numbers are showing up as spam likely on people's cell phones.
And apart from the time spent stuck on the phone waiting for prospects to answer, salespeople have to spend a ton of time entering call notes into the CRM, leave voicemails, and create follow-up tasks in the hopes of having future sales conversations. That's why we use Kixi.
It's the modern voice and texting platform that turns your CRM into a true sales engagement platform. All while increasing your answer rates through cutting-edge technology.
With their holistic approach and seamless integrations, you can enable your reps to spend less time on busy work and more time on having conversations with prospects using Kixi's AI-powered features like multi-line power dialing with voicemail detection, advanced local presence, phone number reputation management, and conversation intelligence.
Not only that, Kixi's team of sales engineers will help you build out advanced workflows and automations at no extra cost.
So head over to kixi.com/salesdoc. That's kixi.com/salesdoc. Or click the link in the description. Get a fully loaded 10-day extended free trial for your entire team. You don't even need to put down a credit card, and the trial comes with hours of call credits included.
You're probably wondering how we can both work full-time, produce a podcast from the Inglewood Studios, and still find time to enjoy our lives.
It's because we partnered with Content Quarterbacks to help produce our weekly podcast.
Content Quarterbacks is a full-service digital media production company. They will help you ideate, create, produce, and publish your B2B podcast.
Not only do they provide us great content to share with the SalesRx community, they also help us publish our podcast on multiple platforms. They review and track our audience analytics and episode performance, all while providing strategy sessions to ensure that we're bringing the highest quality edutainment to you, our listener.
If you're in the B2B space and want to have a great show like this, you can click the link in the description below and book a free consultation with Content Quarterbacks.
So stop thinking about creating content and start doing it. Now let's get back to the show. All right, this segment is Billy's Black Book. And if you're new to the podcast or you're a repeat listener, this is the section just to give you an overview where this segment of the show, we kind of dig into some professional happenings related to our topic that we're talking about that Billy's been journaling, and him and I kind of have a little bit of a discussion. It's kind of the meat and potatoes of the show where some of the best nuggets from the show are pulled out. So Billy, we're talking about building habits that serve direct reports as it relates to sales habits that scale. So this is kind of not only for managers that are looking to enable their sellers' habits better, but also maybe sellers who are thinking about how they can integrate their managers for some better support, their new sales habits, huh?
Yeah, I realize it's already mid-January as we film this and we're talking about new habits for a new year.
Well, first month, as I said, first month is in the books. Maybe you need to recalibrate, you know, maybe things aren't working. Well, why aren't they working? Let's look at a better way to make these things stick.
Well, it's a good topic to discuss. And like, this was something that was submitted by one of our users for us to talk about. And, you know, it struck a chord with me on Tuesday morning. So earlier this week, I was in a manager enablement session for global people leaders at my company. And while we were there, I was in a breakout room with my boss, ironically, and then one of the other leaders that's in the people ops department. And the topic was delegation. Delegation is something that I'm just probably never going to earn my black belt in at any point. And as a frontline sales leader, from where I am right now, it's really not the most important thing that I get judged on, because we are very singularly focused. We all have our roles and responsibilities, and there's a pretty defined action plan, and there's a pretty defined chain of command when we do it. But it's burned a pretty cool sidebar. And while we were talking through, like, I kind of came to this realization when we were talking about leadership and we were talking about habits, we talked about you remember a bad leader, but you never forget a good one.
Yeah.
And those are two very different emotions.
You probably hear me talk about my favorite sales leader I've ever had. You know him by name.
Yeah.
You were even said him earlier when I was talking about, oh, when I was, and you said, oh, Dan Salazar. I was like, yep. Yeah, you know.
And he likes everything I post about this podcast. That's on social great. Media. So shout out to you, Dan Salazar. But, you know, today's episode, aside from being spurned, like we said, by somebody from the SalesRx community that wanted to get our take on it, it's really good because, you know, habits and the things we do, those are the deposits that employees make that drive good or bad outcomes. And as managers, we are so vital to the employee experience at a company that our habits and being mindful of them ultimately have knock-on effects that drive the company performance. Mm-hmm.
So talk more about the idea of remembering a bad leader versus never forgetting a good one as it applies to sales habits. Is that as simple as you remember them because it was like, hey, this is a person that opened my eyes to this thing that I now do in my process or this thing that I can't live without? I mean, great example, Dan. I constantly try to challenge myself to be a morning gym person because mm-hmm. He had the ability to always just wake up and go for a run at like 5-6 in the morning. And I've never been a morning gym person. Before I was married, I was get off work at 5:30, go to the gym from 6 to 7. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When work from home started happening, it was 12 to 1 instead of lunch. You know, I would go in the backyard. I had a weight set. Then when gyms opened up, I started going back into the gym. Never been a morning person, but it's always been that thing in the back of my mind. I've been like, I need to do that, you know, and that's as it applies to sales habits, you know, and he was a great leader. I think about it in that way. How about you? Like, can you divulge a little bit more into that?
Yeah. And I mean, obviously my experience is a little more skewed towards sales leaders because that's been my career. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think the principles that I think of in saying this are pretty transposable for any position that you're in. So when I say like you remember a bad leader, you remember when someone's toxic in a meeting, and you remember if you had a boss who chose to yell and be contentious rather than ask questions and try to understand, you remember those pieces about them. Mm-hmm. But a good leader, like, you don't forget the things that they did. You know, a couple of examples, like the first great leader I ever had, when we would talk about, you know, our work, next thing that comes up in that conversation is our life. And then when we started talking about our life, it was him telling me about his two daughters and, you know, the things he does with them after work every day or after he travels, like what was the first thing he did when he got home, which was hang out with the girls, get caught up, mm-hmm. watch their favorite movies together. Mm. I also think about some of the habits of some of the good leaders. Like, I used to watch my VP of sales. You know, I was back in the days of working in an office. I was always very much like get to work early, get out of the office a little early, kind of beat the traffic. Mm-hmm. So I would pull into the office at 6:30. He would pull in at 6:45 with his AirPods in on a call with like a healthy smoothie. Whereas like I had 4 cups of coffee and like an English muffin, for example. And you think about that and it's like he's already at 6:45 having calls about the business. And he does it so frequently that it's obviously a pattern. It's a habit. Mm-hmm. And so when I say like a bad leader, you remember, like, how could you forget? But the really good leaders, when you talk about never forgetting, you go a layer deeper to say like they were good because.
Yeah.
And that's really where that conversation was going.
Yeah, that makes so essentially you see someone who is being a good leader and then you start to notice even their tiny habits or their routines and you try to find ways to adapt those as well. Like, wow, if he's on a call at 6:45 with clients and I want to be in that position, maybe that's one of the keys to success. I should find a way to be able to get to a position where I'm having a call with a client at 6:30, 6:45 in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even if it's not a client, like, look, if you're not a seller and you do everything that you do for your function is all about business development for the internal infrastructure, think about that. And it's like, what project are we working on? And like, what little conversations could we have early that mean I got more heads downtime mm-hmm. later so that I don't have to have another 30 minute Zoom meeting to talk about mm-hmm. whatever. And, you know, we're talking about habits and like forming good habits. When you look at a bad leader and you step into management, you just say like, hey, whatever that person did that I didn't like, I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to make a conscientious effort not to do that. But when you look at good leaders and you look at the influence they had over you, then it's like, all right, I'm going to do all of these things. Mm-hmm. And even if I don't know how to do them yet, I'm going to aspire to do these things. It's going to be less of a, I'm not going to do it. And it's going to be more of, I'm going to learn how to do it. I'm going to form a habit.
Or you take their word for what they're saying and actually challenge yourself to do the things they're saying. I'll give you an example. Dan, right? Another great example we were talking about. when we were in El Segundo, mm-hmm. he said, here's the thing. Work hours are 9 to 5. Recognize that we are a company that sells all across the country, though. So when we're getting in at 9, some people are already having lunch in New York. Mm-hmm. I would encourage you to get here at 8:30, but your first month, I would try to get here at 7:45 every day. And then take note of the people that are here at 8, the people that are here at 8:30, and the people that are here at 9. The closer to 9 they are, the farther down on the leaderboard they are. But don't just take my word for it. Gut check me. Well, by saying that, I wanted to show up at 7:45 every day, 15 minutes before even the early people were there, about 45 minutes before most people were getting there. A full hour and 15 before you actually had to be there to see what he was talking about. And I did see that. And that not only created the habit in me of being there every day, because I'm already doing it anyway, but it also created that fire to want to stay consistent, because I saw that the people that were getting in at 8, like Stan, shout out Stan Gibbs, were third, second, sometimes first on the leaderboard every month. And I was like, oh, I want to be that person, you know? So not only did he challenged me to do that. And so just by doing that to see the outcome, I was building that habit, but it also built the fire to want to keep doing that habit, because there was a correlation between the time you come into work and the amount of opportunity you have to work throughout the rest of the day, you know? So I love that you bring that up, because it's another example of a great leader and how that instilled a habit in me.
I'll give you another great example of I'm still very much in the formative years of my career, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a long way off from being whatever the final version of myself looks like. And one of the leaders I observed, my SVP of sales, who's up in the Bay Area, this guy is a stud. He is phenomenal at what he does. Bay Area, he's online at 5:45 every morning. Mm-hmm. And we were talking one day in the office in San Diego. I was like, why are you always up so early? Like, I mean, I get it. You're an SVP of sales for a pretty big organization. Like, I know you have obligations, but is there a reason that you're online so early? Because 5:45 just seems early mm-hmm. for anybody.
Yeah.
He said, well, yeah, I oversee people that are on the East Coast mm-hmm. and I have to be available. And I observe him. I kind of like start putting pieces together. Like, he's always up. He's always available. He's always answering his phone. And he's always super casually dressed, just like I am right now. And what you take from it, like, we always assume, like, you got to dress for the job you want in sales, whatever. That has limits to it. That's not necessarily the way we dress is not the end result for a good habit. Because mm-hmm. you can be very casually dressed in a very high up role and still be 10 times more effective than someone who puts a suit and tie on to work from home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. What are the, as we round out this segment, so we're talking about habit building, what are some good habits you've observed from leaders that you haven't forgotten, or how were they implemented? And then the inverse of that, what were some bad habits that you remember from leaders that you've observed?
Yeah. Let's start with the good habits. You know, there were two things that I've observed from people that I've tried to put into my own words that are really, really good at leading. And it comes down to, they're easy to work with. And number two, they work for me. I don't work for them. Hmm. And that's a really important thing when you think about management, because if the role is always like, Chet, I'm your boss and you work for me, it's really hard to feel that support all the time, especially when things aren't going well. Mm-hmm. And five things that I've learned that they've done is, like, number one, they prioritize people. And, you know, we've talked multiple times before, and I even got cooked in our TikTok comments about this, but, like, really getting to know who somebody is as a person. Because if you know that person, you know that personality, and it shows when leaders do that.
Well, you didn't get cooked. The person just didn't understand, like, that this is the business world, and they probably worked in, like, a more manual.
Either way, I didn't hate that. You don't have to disagree with my.
But they said, of course, you know, it was about the one where he said, I want to know who they are, but, you know, after work, like, what right. their personal why is. And the person was like, it's to make money. Why else? And it's like, yeah, but why do you want to make money? You know what I mean? Like, a little above and beyond that, like, are you trying to be, like, a pro streamer? And so you want money to buy a nice, like, computer screen and a good streaming camera? You're a musician. Like, what's the big focus of money? Are you just working to live? You know what I mean? I mean, that's a little different. But to managing different personalities, then I know who I have, right? If you're just a person who wants to work to live, I know what I got. So
totally.
I wouldn't say you got cooked. I said I would probably encourage you. It was probably a person that was not in our ICP of listeners. And
either way, I don't mind people disagreeing with the way I go about my business. But to that point, second thing that I learned is, like, a really good habit is just be consistent going about your business. You know, we talked about Tony Benvenuto, my boss, Chris Kornbrus, every great boss I've had before it, their calendars are consistent. Their mood in good news and bad is consistent. The way they articulate goals and vision and what the plan is to hit it is always consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's practiced. It's you have to build that habit over time. Number three, they know when to lead from the front or when to lead from the back office. And sometimes in sales, like, frontline managers, like, we come in and we think, like, we got to be super rep here and it's got to be a thunder and lightning mentality. It doesn't always need to be that. There's a time when you need to be standing arm in arm with your rep. And there's a time you just got to stand back and say, like, hey, I know you got this.
Yeah.
When you need something from me in the back office, whether it's an approval on pricing or just to talk through or watch the call back and give you my feedback, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
They're predictable. And this is why we talk about, like, for me, like, I want to get up in the morning, hit the foam roller, do my, you know, stretches that my chiropractor gave me. Getting old's embarrassing. Yeah,
you sound
dude.
So old.
I know, I know, I know, I know. But, you know, the thing about it is, like, if my day is predictable, then my mood can be more predictable and I can be mm-hmm. more predictable in the way that I approach good news, bad news, disruption, whatever.
Yeah.
And then the last thing, like, shout out again to the Ferguson brothers. I know you guys are getting too much love on this podcast lately, but they always said, stay new. And, you know, every really, really good leader I had, those conversations in a one-on-one or anywhere else, when I present them with an idea or facts or here's why this happened this way, rather than just assuming knowing the outcome every time, ask good questions, try to learn something new so we're on the same playing field. Those are five habits. You don't need to read a Jocko Willink book in order to be successful. And those are just things that I've observed over the years. Those are the habits of leaders that I gravitate to.
Yeah. I love it. I think there's a lot of good information to unpack there. And when it comes to, you know, frontline leaders building habits and helping their salespeople build habits.
You just made the list!
All right, so for our final segment of the day, it's Doctor's Orders. This is the part of the show where you, the listener, submit your questions and go-to-market challenges to get a prescriptive, tactical, and practical approach by the sales doctor himself.
Doctor is in!
All right, Chet, I feel like everybody talks about habit building these days, and I know that a set of habits will lead to a routine, but for somebody in a sales role that requires me to do a lot of outbound outreach, can you recommend what these habits should be inside a good sales routine? Should I start with cold calling, answering emails? What exactly does good look like in a sales task routine?
Yeah, wow. That's true, too. Like, everybody's going to talk to you about atomic habits and all that stuff, but what would that look like in an outbound role? So four big things here. Number one, I think the most important in your sales routine for your day is take time to make time. I love the scene from The Office when James Spader His character is running the branch.
Robert California.
Yeah, and he rolls in, and Pam's like drinking coffee at like 9:15. He's like, what are we doing? She's like, warming up. He's like, people, by the time you get to work, you should already be warm. And I've always felt that way. It blows my mind that, especially in a work from home environment too, people get up 30 minutes before their day actually starts and try to roll with it. Like, if I woke up 30 minutes before I did my first call or my first set of outreach tasks, sales tasks, whatever you want to call it, as it relates to my job, I would be so bad, because I need time. I need time to rub the sleep from my eyes. I need to take a nice, good hot shower. I'm not a cold shower guy.
Still not a cold shower guy in 2024, huh?
I mean, I will do that after like any physical activity, because I believe that inflammation helps and I don't have an ice bath, but I'd love to. But in the morning, no, I just need some warm water to hit me, especially now that we're dealing with these freezing 60 degree temperatures in California.
You know that like 180 million Americans are dealing like with a bomb cyclone right now.
Yeah, 5 feet of snow. Yeah, everything's shut down back in my hometown right now, like literally shut down. Like nobody can go anywhere. It's crazy.
Plenty of time to listen to the Sales RX podcast.
That's right. That's right.
By the way, I feel very victimized. You would not like my caffeine intake habits during the day if you got problems with the post 9:15 coffee.
No. I don't mind that at all. I'm actually like, I'm not going to break my entire structure down, but like I need to get that sleep out of my eyes. I need to see, usually my wife and the kids are already up at that point. I need to see what they're up to.
Yeah.
You know, check with my wife, make sure everything's going okay. Maybe, you know, load some dishes from breakfast in there for her. I don't know, whatever it might be. Like there's a whole 45 minutes to an hour of just Chet getting his day opening the door to his day that I need to go through. And then, you know, I need to get my coffee and I need to sit down. I need to browse social media for a little bit. And then I do some of my social engagement. And then I read some stuff about the stock market and financial news. And then you know, like there's a whole slew of things I need to do for myself before I even want to work on my business or in my business or for a business, whatever that might be. So I can't, if my day starts at 8:30, I can't get up at 8 and get that done.
Mm-hmm.
So take time to make time. I think that's the first important thing. The second thing is try to create a task-centric workflow versus focusing on multitasking.
What does that mean?
So standard sales rep will go through their sequencer. Okay, I got a call for this person. Okay, now I made that call, so they didn't answer. I'm going to leave a voicemail. Let me go write a follow-up email real quick. Okay, and let me go check on LinkedIn and double down on some of my outreach. Maybe I'll send a video message.
Got it. Okay.
Like,
I'm with you.
Don't work one person at a time. Work one task at a time. So this is why it's so important to take time to make time when you're setting up your sequence that you're using in certain sequences, so that you don't have to manually think very hard about what I need to do when I need to do it. It's just 20 calls, 20 emails, 20 LinkedIn touches. Like, work in those tasks, because you'll notice that when you do something, and this is why in my leadership boot camps, I always tell people, like, don't try to have one-on-ones throughout the week. Have your one-on-ones in the middle of the week. So if you're managing 10 people, do three one day, maybe four the next day. Because I used to love being able to stay in that set of mind in a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that from 2 to 4 p.m. on Tuesdays, I was in one-on-one mode. I knew that from 2 to 4 p.m. on Thursdays, I was in one-on-one mode. And I knew that, you know, especially when I was managing 10 SDR managers, like it was like, I didn't want to have one on Monday, three on Tuesday, four on Wednesday. Like, I didn't want to do that, because I had to be buttoned up Chet, the guy that's managing the relationship between the company and the employee,
right?
One-on-one support, like the way I look at one-on-ones. I had to do that at different times throughout the whole day. I didn't like doing that. And I think it's why, like, one thing that's really smart, when I had Sam McKenna on my podcast, they told me that, like, oh, well, Mondays, we completely focus on projects and admin and all this other stuff. We don't do like sales calls or podcasts, stuff like that. I was like, that's smart. Like, stay in one frame of mind to get a bunch of stuff done so that the rest of the week you're operating. And, you know, I'm not saying you have to do that. I think you should always be open for sales calls personally. You know, move within your prospects' time, not your own. But when it comes to things I can control, stay task-centric, because when you're in that same frame of mind, you do so much better. When you try to do multiple things at once, if you have a one-hour sales block, if you go contact by contact instead of task by task, you'll find that by the end of it, you've made 6 cold calls, sent 3 emails in 20 minutes browsing on LinkedIn because you got distracted. Right. So say task-centric. Multitasking, there are 50% more errors that occur, a 40% drop in productivity, and a 10% decrease in your IQ when you try to multitask. And to me, multitask. So don't try to do multiple tasks. Focus on one task. I think that's going to help you when you build out your time blocking and you're creating routines. I have this thing, the GSD method. It's the get shit done method. And the way I look at it is you do basically like you work in sprints of 2 hours. And so when I think about a seller specifically, because this person's up on sales apparently, I think of how does that look like? How do I break out an hour worth of or 2 hours worth of sales activity? Is that just 2 hours of cold calls? Is it 2 hours this, 2 hours that? And I think of it, it's very simple. It's a rotating cycle. You do your outreach tasks to start. You do 30 minutes of those. Then you go to email and admin and follow up and answering Slacks and all that other crap that we have to do internally and externally for 15 minutes. Now I'm at 45 minutes. Then I go to outreach for another 30 minutes. And that outreach could be anything. It could be calls. It could be one-off emails. It could be follow-up. It could be LinkedIn touches. It could be writing handwritten letters, setting up direct mail campaigns, whatever you're doing that you have to do for your outreach. So 30 on, 15 off, 30 on, 15 off. And then you spend, now you've gotten one, you've gotten basically an hour and a half down. Then you jump into 1 hour of prospecting or 30 minutes, depending on your level of what you can handle. But I love this task life cycle because it's like you go eat your food, you clean your plate, and then you go find more food. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times people will try to front load prospecting work instead of outreach work. And that's mentally, it's investigative. You're doing research. There's due diligence. It's mentally tasking to do that. I would rather front load the stuff where I really need to be sharp right there if somebody picks up the phone. And that's why I prefer to do outreach. So I would say like do your outreach, then do your email and admin stuff, then jump into your outreach tasks, then do more email and admin, and then come around and then fill that task pipeline up with more prospecting activity. But focus on working on things in 15 to 30 minute blocks. I like to look at things in almost like a 2 hour block. So, you know, 8 to 10, then I have my 15 minute walk I told you about.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have like some room for some stuff that I do. And then I look at my afternoon block. You know, that's my 11 to 1. And then I have my 15 minute time. And then I have my 3 to 5. Like I have these serious 2 hour blocks where I'm getting basically 6 hours of activity done.
Do you, as a habit, do you block them on your calendar specifically activity by activity?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty
taking it the extra step and showing me his calendar. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Color coded.
Yeah.
Whew.
Color coded. Color coding's great. I do green for money making tasks, purple for me, because I, you know, entrepreneur, I have a lot of marketing and content related tasks. So purple for those, red for revenue generating activity tasks, yellow for all like project work, blue, the light blue for sales meetings, even though they're revenue generating tasks, I like to know the difference between tasks and meetings, orange for podcasts and podcast appearances. And then the dark blue, they call it the blueberry. That's like my wild card for like events and stuff like that or networking. But yeah, color code it, work in two-hour sprints, separate your day out. So that's the third thing. The fourth and final thing is, you know, to get your day started and even figure out what your routine is to eat the frog. You know, it's like the grossest thing ever to have to do, but you do the hardest thing first.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that's going to be for you. I don't know if that's going to be cold calls to new prospects that you have sent an intro email to. I don't know if that's, you know, following up with current people in your conversation pipeline or in your opportunity pipeline. I don't know what eating the frog looks like for you, but you have to figure that out for yourself. But do the toughest thing first in the first 30 minutes. I think when I think about like my priority that I would train an outbound seller on, in terms of eating the frog and like where I should be spending my time, I think the most prioritized is your top 30 list. These were like, hey, at the end of this quarter, if we got, you know, 5 to 6 of these people into an opportunity, we'd be pretty happy. Then you work your whale and your enterprise accounts. If you're allowed to do that, if enterprise isn't a separate function, I think you need to put a little bit of time there as well, because one of those deals could be as big as three to four of your top 30 list deals. And I think those are different too. Your whales and your enterprise are different than your top 30. Your top 30 fits your straight ICP target market size. And this is probably because I've come up from a lot of startup, you know, experience.
Right.
It was typically like, hey, you have the full gamut. You know, we can sell to enterprise. It's not a primary ICP. We're SMB mid-market. So you target your top 30 like bread and butter. But then we also want to target some of these enterprise or these whale accounts because they could lead to a lot more. Then you move into targeted follow-up. Those are people that you're following up with who you've either had a conversation with, but they haven't moved to the next step. Or if you're a seller actually closing deals, those are open opportunities. Then I like to move into closed lost ops or people, if I'm like an SDR, BDR, people I've talked to that never converted into an opportunity or people who did convert into an opportunity, but weren't a sales accepted opportunity. Or even if your motion dictates it 6 months after something's a closed lost op from an AE, SDRs and BDRs can go search through CRM and retarget it. I think those people are down there because they've already had it. They're warmer than people who haven't heard about us, which is the last target, the general prospecting, just the activity metric hitters, just the massive lead lists. The things that I'm like, hey, if you don't have a parallel dialer when you're doing this wide net campaign, why not? You just want to load up a bunch of numbers and call for strategy, connect with people as fast as possible. But the closed lost ops, I've always gotten the question of why would you not want to re-engage with people you've already had an opportunity with higher than people who you haven't generated an opportunity, but maybe in conversation with, or enterprise accounts or your top 30 list. And I think it's because part of it is it's a very low touch but highly engaged thing. So you don't have to prioritize it as often because they already know who you are, what you do. You've had that conversation. It's more of a timing thing. So I think in terms of the other ones, they don't know who you are, that you exist, the problem that you solve, you have to do a little bit more frequent touching and they deserve a little bit more priority. But yeah, so top 30, whale and enterprise, targeted follow-up, people that you're in an active deal cycle with or people that you're having conversations with that haven't converted to an opportunity, closed lost ops, and then your, I call the last one your general prospecting. So decide like what's the hardest one to do. Maybe general prospecting is, and so you want to get that out of the way because, man, it's really tough for me just to fire up my power dialer and go have three cold conversations in a half an hour and have like super cold conversations with them. Get that out of the way. But when you think about the different buckets and segmentations of your outbound outreach, that's kind of how I categorize things so you can kind of develop where do those buckets live inside of which parts of my day and which sales tasks that I'm doing.
It's funny. I've never heard it called eat the frog before.
Oh, really?
But of all the things here for our listener who submitted this question, like that to me is the most important thing for you to try to implement first, because whether you're a BDR that's doing all that outbound or whether you're an AE that's full cycle and you got to do cold outbound as part of it. Sometimes the hardest thing you're going to do throughout the day is re-engage that person that went on vacation for 2 weeks on that deal that you are betting your forecast on. And if that's the case, if the scariest part of it is just picking up the phone, dealing with whatever what-if scenario runs through your head about how this could go, just do it, man.
How weird is that?
Get it out of your head and like move on.
The person that's been on vacation for 2 weeks, we're afraid to call them because we've already connected with them and we think they're going to buy and we're afraid of hearing them say no. But the cold prospect we've never even connected with, we're more prone to call them first.
Absolutely.
It's so funny to me.
Well, you don't have anything on the line yet when it's it's a cold prospect. But when it's somebody that told you like, hey, we'll pick this thing up when I get back from vacation. Well, what if you went on vacation to Chicago and they got a winter storm for the entire time you were there and your vacation got ruined and now you're going to come back and you might take it out on me and that might be your reason why you don't want to do business with us?
You know, like Billy's mother-in-law having COVID and him going up there during Christmas, you got to risk it for the biscuit.
You got to risk it for the biscuit.
You got to give them the family time. You got to risk getting the COVID. You got to do the same thing when the prospects are on the line. That's all for today's episode. If you are interested in engaging with us or the podcast further, you can check out the links to our LinkedIn profiles in the episode description. Don't forget to check out past episodes and our weekly newsletter. You can go either to the Sales Doctor website or check out my LinkedIn feature section. I have it directly there, salesdocrx.com/newsletter. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, and enjoy the show, feel free to give it a 5-star review or any rating that you feel is relevant. We love all the feedback. If you're listening on Spotify, not only can you give us a rating, but you can also follow the podcast so that way the new episodes will populate organically to your feed with your Discover Weekly and other podcasts that you might follow on Spotify every week when we publish. Again, a big shout out to this week's episode sponsor, Kixi. If you haven't used Kixi yet, you should give it a try. We have a 10-day free trial on us in the episode description. If you're using tools like Aurum, Nooks, Monster Connect to connect with prospects faster, basically, like, why would you click to dial manually? Load up a list of prospects, give them a, you know, run it through the dialer and then get connected with immediately whoever's picking up the phone. The cool thing about Kixi that I've been getting a little bit more familiar with this week is a lot of that's been done for outbound, but it also has a great inbound functionality to it as well with your inbound lead channels. So not only does Kixi do the outbound thing that I'm sure anybody who's got a power dialer like Nooks or Aurum or Monster Connect is doing, but they also have an inbound function that a lot of those companies don't have yet. So I encourage you, give it a try. I know people get tool burnout and it can be tough to want to download free trials, but at least go check out and maybe even see a demo. If you want the trial, there is a 10-day free trial that we're including on us, and there's hours of call credits and all sorts of things included. So encourage you to check it out. That's all for us, and we look forward to seeing you here every Wednesday at now 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern for another installment of the Sales Arts Podcast. Talk to you later.